بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. This is the final session for our brief study of Surah Al-Kawthar, and by no means do not take this as an excuse to not study Surah Al-Kawthar after today. I've only given you just the tip of the iceberg. The Quran and its ajaib la tanqadi, as Ali radiallahu anhu said. The lessons, the pearls of the Quran never cease, never stop. And wallahi, the more you learn about the Quran and surah that you may have memorized many years ago and even studied, the more you dig, the more gold you find. Wallahi, the deeper you go, the more pearls you extract. So continue inshallah after today your study of Surah Al-Kawthar, different tafaseer, and also Juz Amma, and keep going after that bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So let's conclude with the ayah, Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. Common translation would be, no doubt, or verily, or say verily, the one who hates you is cut off. Now let's explain this ayah word for word. Inna, it's commonly translated verily, right? Indeed. Indeed is probably a closer translation, because inna is used, we said last night, li'izalati shak, to remove doubt. To remove doubt. So no doubt about it, Allah Ta'ala is saying, no doubt about this. And indeed, it's a confirmation, it's a promise. Shani'aka, and the shana'a in Arabic means kariha, to hate. Al-mubghid. The shani' is al-mubghid. Allah Ta'ala is saying, the one who hates you, but not just that. It's the noun that is being used here. The shani', it's not inna alladhi yashna'uka, it's not the one who hates you, it's the hater. Difference between the one who is hating, the verb, and the hater, the title. There's a difference in Arabic and in English. You can appreciate the difference between verbs and nouns. Verbs do not indicate a constant nature. Verbs do not indicate a constant nature. For example, if I change the light bulb in my home, does that make me an electrician? No. If I taught my younger brother or sister one ayah from the Quran, or you were to do so, you taught your younger brother or sister one ayah from the Quran, does that make you a Quran teacher, a shaykh? No. So a verb, to do it once every now and again, you don't earn that title. But a title, a name, is given to someone who's engaging in an action on a continuous basis. For example, a doctor, he has that title. Doctor, because he deals with medicine. You see? The runner, the athlete, earned that title because he's always running. You see? Plumber earned that title because he's dealing with people's, not gonna say it, people's business. Earned the title, plumber. Electrician, dealing with people's electricity, you see, and their problems. So, you see, the title is given, the ism, it's called in Arabic. It's given when a person is constantly doing something. Constant, it's embedded in their nature. Scholars will say, al-ism yadullu ala al-thubut. The ism is used, that it indicates a constant nature. Whereas the fi'l yadullu ala al-hadath wa zaman. The verb in Arabic just indicates an action was done based on a particular time. That is it. So Allah Ta'ala, what did he use here? The verb or the noun? What did he use? The name or the verb? Name, shani', right? Shani'. Like katib, abid, sa'im, qa'il, see, shani' all rhymes with fa'il. Fa'il in Arabic means doer. In other words, it's not just the one who hated you once. It's the one who's constantly hating you. It's embedded in their nature, it's running through their veins. Hatred for Rasulullah is running through their veins. They are living a life of hatred towards Islam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That person is no doubt indeed cut off. Why? And this is the mercy of Allah. Because that person, imagine Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِي يَشْنَأُكَ, the one who hated you once or twice, the verb was used. Then anyone who hated Rasulullah once in their life would be cut off in this world and the hereafter. What would have happened to Umar radiallahu anhu? Didn't he hate Rasulullah at one point in his life? He did, he wanted to kill him. Khalid ibn Walid and others. And how many people have once attacked Rasulullah, but subhanAllah, over the years, Allah guided them to Islam. You see? So to the mercy, this ayah, although it's talking about the enemies, how they are cut off, it's actually showing the mercy of Allah. His justice. Just because a person does things, Allah Ta'ala, He postpones punishment. Allah Ta'ala is not hasty. One of his names, As-Sabur, the patient one. He gives respite. He gives postponement. Why? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Perhaps they may come back. Perhaps they may turn back to faith. This is out of Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy, Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala is saying, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْطَرُ No doubt about it. That person, the one who hates you, as we said, not just hating, but the hater, who has hatred running through their veins, and they're living on the hatred of Rasulullah, that person is no doubt هُوَ الْأَبْطَرُ Cut off. We said, when the Prophet Muhammad's children passed away, the mushrikun became happy. They said, Butira Muhammad, Butira Muhammad. In fact, Abu Lahab came out of his house singing and dancing. SubhanAllah. And Abu Lahab, by the way, was he related to Rasulullah? He was. He was his uncle. Yet, even though one of his own family members, one of his relatives, passed away because the son of Rasulullah is related to him, he became happy, saying, Butira Muhammad, what kind of a sick, twisted individual becomes happy when an innocent child dies? And who becomes even happy when some of their own family members pass away? SubhanAllah, what kind of a sick man was Abu Lahab? And that's why a whole surah was named after him. Surah Lahab, named after Abu Lahab. And it has other names, of course, Surah Masad and others. Named after Abu Lahab, why? Because no one showed animosity and enmity to Rasulullah like Abu Lahab. No one. He was the worst of the lot. If there was a Grammy back then for all-time loser, he would win it. He'd win the Oscar. Abu Lahab. As we said, what kind of a sick, twisted man becomes happy when his own relatives die? In fact, it's an innocent child. Allahu Akbar. And subhanAllah, Allah did not name any surah in the Quran after an enemy of Islam, except Abu Lahab. Think of an enemy of Islam. Name one. Past, present, times of the prophets of old. Any enemy. Name one. Abu Jahl. We don't have surah to Abu Jahl. Dajjal. We don't have surah to Dajjal. Fir'aun. We don't have surah to Fir'aun. Shaitan. We don't have surah to Shaitan or surah to Iblis. Surah to Lahab. Because no one showed the animosity towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like Abu Lahab. We're going to see shortly. I'm going to give examples of the haters towards Rasulullah and how Allah Ta'ala dealt with them. Allah Ta'ala is saying they are abtar. From butira. So they would say, butira Muhammad, he's cut off because the way they saw it was, look, his male children have passed away, no one's going to live on the message. Right? When the messenger dies, the message will die with him. Little did they know, everyone forgot them and everyone remembered Rasulullah. Look at the irony. Look at the irony. They're saying, butira Muhammad, he's cut off. No, no, no. You are abtar, which is on a higher level. In Arabic, if a word rhymes with af'al, it means something which is on a higher level and degree. For example, how do you say beautiful in Arabic? So that brother is beautiful. Jameel. Right? How do you say more beautiful? Ajman. Jameel Ajman. More beautiful. How do you say tall in Arabic? Tawil. How do you say tall? Atwal. You see? Jameel, Ajman, Tawil, Atwal. How do you say short? Qasir. How do you say shorter? Aqsar. How do you say big? Kabir. How do you say bigger? Akbar. You see how they all rhyme with af'al? Ajman, Atwal, Asghar, Akbar, Abtar. It's not Inna shani'aka huwa al-batir, like jameel, tawil, kabir. No, not batir. That's a word from butira. Abtar, higher level, completely cut off in all senses of the word. Cut off in this world from all khayr, and cut off in the hereafter from all khayr. Allah Ta'ala begins, subhanAllah, look at the link from the first ayah to the last ayah. Allah Ta'ala saying, we've granted you, Ya Rasulullah, all khayr, all goodness, al-kawthar, the one who hates your enemy, has lost all khayr. SubhanAllah. You've been granted all good, they have lost all good. And you find ayah 1 is in complete contrast to ayah 3. The first ayah and the last ayah. Amazing. And abtar, also linguistically, as we said, to be cut off, yani if you look up the word butira, it means to be quti'a. Batara means qata'a in Arabic, to cut off. And it has three meanings. Number one, to be cut off from all good. to be cut off from all good. Number two, the word abdon was used when someone's children pass away, especially for male children, because the males, of course, we know they live on the family name. The males live on the family name. The children adopt the surname of the father. So abdon meant, back then to the Arab, when one's children died, particularly the males, and abdon was used for a loser. A loser. As we said, Abu Lahab, all-time loser. Okay? He earns that award. A++ to him. So those three meanings of abdon. Number one, cut off from all good. Number two, when one's male children die. Or even if a person had no male children, I'll say, who abdon? Cut off. In other words, his lineage is cut off. No one's going to remember them, you know, their generation and ancestry. And number three, a loser. And Allah didn't say, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ أَبْتَنَا هُوَ الْأَبْتَنَا الْأَبْتَنَا, the ultimate loser, the. And if you want an example of a loser, you want the prime example of a loser, look at the one who is a hater of Rasulullah. That person is the example of a loser, subhanAllah. الْأَبْتَنَا, yani for the, al is the here. Let's give some examples of the haters. The haters of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ultimate losers in this world and the hereafter. As we said, Abu Lahab, prime example, has a whole surah named after him. He used to be the uncle, and he was the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But despite that didn't benefit him in the least. You know, being related to a good person, a shaykh, an imam, a prophet, doesn't guarantee you paradise. We have in the examples of earlier prophets, we have in the lives of the earlier prophets examples of this. Namely, a prophet who had a son who was a disbeliever. Nuh alayhi salam. Namely, a prophet who had a father who was a disbeliever. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Namely, a righteous woman who had a husband who was a disbeliever. Asiyah. Namely, a prophet who had a wife as a disbeliever. Lut, right? So you see, subhanAllah, we have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his uncle is a disbeliever. And so this is reassuring, especially to reverts, that if you have a family member who is a kafir or a kafir, don't be too disheartened. You find great examples in the lives of the earlier prophets, the lives of the earlier generation. They dealt with it. So those things happen for a reason, to give us examples, teach us lessons upon lessons, how to deal with such situations in the future, subhanAllah. So those things happen for a reason. A lot of people ask, why does Allah allow bad to happen? He allows it for great reasons indeed. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. But it's always khair. The misfortunes of a believer are fortunes in disguise. For example, Hajar alayhi salam. She was left in the desert, and because of that she left behind a great legacy in Hajj. Yusuf alayhi salam, sold into degraded slavery, but because of that he became an honored king. Yusuf alayhi salam again, thrown into the world without any food, water or provision. And because of that, he became the minister of food, water and provision in Egypt. SubhanAllah. Also Musa alayhi salam, he was lost in the desert, searching for guidance of the road, he ended up with guidance for humanity. Allahu Akbar. The misfortunes of the believer are fortunes in disguise. Never doubt the divine decree of our master. Never doubt it. Now some people may doubt the plan, but never doubt the planner, Allah Azza wa Jalla. So Abu Lahab, he was the uncle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was also his neighbor. He was the Prophet's neighbor. And back then, not all houses had a roof. So he shared a wall with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many times he would throw his trash and rubbish into the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he didn't do a good job of it because he should have thrown himself in, right? Threw the trash, should have thrown himself. So he would throw that, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became, you know, frustrated one day, and he said, "Ahadihi huquq al-jar? Are these the rights of the neighbor that you're fulfilling?" And even back then, even the kuffar of Quraysh had dignity in honoring the neighbor, but Abu Lahab would even cross that line. SubhanAllah. And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him or the people to Islam, Abu Lahab disliked this. Wait, he was an orphan, I took him under my wing, I'm his uncle, he should follow me, I'm not going to follow him. No, arrogance and pride got in the way. And also Abu Lahab was not as how many people depict him. You know, if you look at his cartoon, they show Abu Lahab as this grotesque, ugly person. He's actually very good looking. He earned the nickname of Abu Lahab due to his good looks. Lahab is a red flame that flickers in the night. That's what Lahab means. A red flame that flickers in the night. And because a lot of the Arab back then were dark in complexion due to the sun, he stood out because he had this red tinge to his skin. So just as that red flame flickers and stands out in the dark night, he was like that reddish complexion that would stand out amongst the dark Arab, and it was considered exotic, it was considered handsome. So he earned the nickname of Abu Lahab. So he was extremely handsome. He was wealthy. He had good ancestry, good lineage, good reputation. He was a treasurer of Mecca. And he married a very beautiful woman by the name of Marwa. But because of her also extreme good looks, she was extremely beautiful, she earned the nickname of Umm Jameel. And Jameel is beautiful. So you see, like you can imagine a celebrity couple, right? Like Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, right? They're marrying each other, like all the talk of the town, and you know, they had it all. Fame, fortune, good looks, right? And when Islam was presented to them, they were asking, what am I going to get out of it? I don't know if you're going to get Jannah like every other believer. I don't know. We're upper class citizens, we should get something else, we should get more. Right? They thought they were above everyone else, so they rejected Islam based on pride and arrogance. SubhanAllah. And Abu Lahab, his two sons married the two daughters of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Lahab had two sons by the names Utba and Utayba, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they married, of course, Ruqayya and Kulthum. So the two sons of Abu Lahab were married to the two daughters of Rasulullah. So that's another way that they were connected in family relations. Yet, he wanted to cross that line again. He wanted to cross the line of blood relations once again. He told his two sons to divorce the two daughters of Rasulullah. Told his two sons to divorce their wives. Utba does so. But Utayba goes a step further. He divorced his wife, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, if anything, you'd want to be closer to Rasulullah. He's looking at means of breaking away. Allahumma sa'ala. Utayba, he goes a step further. He rips the shirt of Rasulullah and he spits in his face. A'udhu billah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then raised his hand in dua against him. And it's one thing to harm Rasulullah, but to harm his family. Now sometimes you know, a person, you can take it when they harm you. But when a person harms your family like that, you know, curses your wife, curses your mother, they cross the line. He says, أَكَلَكَ كَلْبٌ مِنْ كَلَابِ اللَّهِ. May one of the dogs of Allah eat you. Utayba after that became extremely terrified. Days on end, he was always panicking, always anxious and nervous. He then, one day, was about to depart on a journey to Bilad al-Sham. And before he leaves, Abu Lahab, his filthy father, he goes over to him and he gives him a hug like never before. An emotional hug, as though, subhanAllah, he had a feeling and he knew, this is the last time I'm going to hug my son. An emotional scene between father and son. Utayba is on this journey. And upon setting camp one evening with his companions, he sees a lion encircling the campsite. So he jumps up and he says, this is the dua of Muhammad, the dua of Muhammad. It's going to get me. His companion said, take it easy, man. Settle down. Nothing's going to happen. Don't worry. What are you talking about? This lion. It's from the dua of Muhammad. SubhanAllah. Even they were scared of what the Prophet Muhammad would say in dua against them. They said, مَا قَالَ مُحَمَّدٌ شَيْئًا إِلَّا كَانَ. They would say, even the kuffar, Muhammad would not say anything except it will happen. So this lion's going to get me. They go, look, what do you want us to do? Utayba says, tonight when I sleep, you all sleep around me. Coward. And just like the many cowards of today, they send teenagers who are brainwashed into battle, or they relax in their air-conditioned offices. Allahumma sa'ala. You sleep all around me, protection, so if the lion's going to come, it'll eat everyone else, but not him. And he says, for extra precaution, you'll put the animals around you. You know, the horses and the camels, etc. Because they will act as alarm bells when the lion comes into the campsite, because the lion is the king of the jungle. All the animals are scared of it.
in a very religious sense. That evening, the lion makes his way to the campsite. It sneaks between the animals, none of them make a sound. Why? Because Allah is controlling them. It then avoids every single soldier and companion of Utaybah. They go straight for his tent, enters it, and devour him alive. Allahu Akbar. And leave without harming anyone else. SubhanAllah. This is from the Kawthar Allah granted Rasulullah. How he dealt with his enemies. Inna shani'aka hul aftar. And subhanAllah, Utbah ends up becoming Muslim. You see, he may have hated Rasulullah for a moment or two. But Utaybah, we said, was a hater. He had hatred in his veins. Hatred towards Rasulullah. So he's cut off from all good. And of course, hellfire for him. You don't prefer this hellfire. Allahu Akbar. The dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something to be afraid of if it's against you. But that did not deter his father from his kufr and shirk and hatred towards Rasulullah. Here's another hater, another example. Haters are going to hate, right? Allahumma sa'ad. He continues with his kufr and hatred and insults towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we said, the final nail in the coffin was when he was happy when the son of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. He came out singing and dancing, Butra Muhammad, Butra Muhammad. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once invited the leaders of Quraysh to dinner. To invite them to Islam, and this is something which is praiseworthy. You're allowed to, you know, give a non-Muslim some food, invite them to dinner, to soften their hearts to Islam, no problem. So he did so. And while there, he invited them to Al-Islam. And that's when Abu Lahab, he asked about what he's going to get out of it, and he was told, as we mentioned earlier, he's going to get the same as everyone else. His response was, تَبَّا لِهَذَا الدِّينِ. May Allah curse this religion. Basically, that's what he's saying, making dua against this religion. He said, may this religion be cursed. In our language, stuff this religion. That's what he said. Dabba, literally, to be destroyed. May be finished. That's what he's saying. So he cursed the religion of Islam. That's the first curse. And that he cursed then again for a second time when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered everyone on the mountain of As-Safa when he said, Ya Sabaha, and they all came. And he warned them of the punishment that is to come in the hereafter. And then Abu Lahab once again, he says, Sabbalak. Talking to Rasulullah, may you be destroyed, may you be cursed. Alihada jama'atana, this is why you gathered us. I was making money, man. You took me away from my business. May you be destroyed. How many times did he curse? All up. How many? Twice, right? He said, Tabba lihada deen, cursed the religion, and he cursed Rasulullah. Two. So Allah cursed him twice in the opening of Surah Al-Lahab. Tabbat, the first. Tabbat yada abi lahabin. Wa tab. Two for two. Once again showing the ultimate justice of Allah. When a person is punished because of Allah's justice. Two for two. He cursed twice, Allah gave him two curses. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala does not oppress even the kafir. Showing you the mercy and justice of Allah the Most High. May he be destroyed in his hands. I'm not going to go into tafsir Surah Al-Lahab for another 3 hours. But basically, what does tabba mean? Tabba is translated as curse, destroy. But there are other words for destroy and to perish, right? There's mata, al-maut. There's hudda, also dummira. These are all words for to destroy, to perish. What's tabba mean? Tabba is connected to tabab. Tabab is slow, utter destruction that occurs over time. Bit by bit, bit by bit. That's why the old man is called tab. Tab. This poem would say, Kuntu shabban, asirtu tabban. I was a shab, one of the shabab, a young man, then I became a tab, an old man. Right? Slowly, because when we get older, right, we slowly deteriorate. You know, the back starts to hunch over, you can't see as far, you can't run as you used to, you can't do backflips anymore. If you were doing it, that was. You know, and the elderly woman was called Tabba. When the Arab wanted to get married, he would ask, Ahiya Shabba or Tabba? Is she a young woman or an old woman? You see? So sisters, don't get insulted. That word was used for the men as well, as we said, the Tab. You've got to mention both, you know, otherwise I'll be in trouble. Especially with the women. Sometimes the brothers will say things and give me a lecture, and we'll get into the bad books of the women. So as we said, this is something that was used for the men, the Tab, and the woman, the Tabba. I have to score some points. Because when these recordings go out and my wife hears them, well, I'm silent. Then I'll be in trouble. Because that's Sheikh Bilal the Noor always says, you know, the love doctor, we call him back in Sydney. Happy wife, happy life. Yeah. Mothers are married and saying, yes, that's true. When my wife is not happy, it's World War III. That's all we say, sisters, and we're going to talk about marriage tonight, inshallah, at home with the Prophet, how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the home. Very important, especially for the married couples out there, or even the bachelors and bachelorettes. We're going to give some advice about marriage, inshallah, very important. We'll throw in a few marriage jokes as well, you know, lighten up the mood a bit. You know, a few jokes are below the belt these days when it comes to marriage, but khair inshallah. So that's tonight, bi-idhnillah. Al-Muhim. So, tabba, to be destroyed over time. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, Matab, Abu Lahab is not going to die with, like, you know, an arrow to the head, he's going to fall off his camel or horse and, you know, his neck's going to get snapped. No. Slow, utter death. Slow, utter destruction. He ends up contracting a deadly and contagious disease, where red blisters and pimples began to appear all over his body, and it was eating him up on the inside. No one wanted to come near him. We said he was a celebrity, he had all of these fans, you know, fan base, likes on Facebook, everyone deserted him. No one wanted to go get his autograph anymore. Everyone abandoned him. Even his own children. So he was rotting away slowly but surely on his bed. SubhanAllah. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab. Slow utter death. And alhamdulillah, the inevitable happens and he passes away. Alhamdulillah. Allah rid us of the likes of Abu Lahab in this world. He ends up dying. And as we said, because of this disease, no one wanted to go near him. No one wanted to even bury him, not even his children. So his corpse was left there to rot on the bed for days on end until his neighbors complained. They called his children and said, hey, look, your dead dad is sticking up the joint. He's sticking up the place. His rotting corpse is putrid. His odor is coming into our house. Get him out. Do something. Oh, I have to do something. It's our dad. What are we going to do? Can imagine, right? They all went in with gas masks. They had to cover up. They all went in, and it was mentioned that they got some Abyssinian slaves to help them. They basically didn't want to touch him, so they got these huge wooden logs and they would push him off the bed onto this huge blanket. Another narration mentions they would throw these huge rocks and pebbles at him to knock him off. You can imagine, right? His disgusting body sitting there and stone just smashing him in his head as he's just lying there dead. It eventually pushes him off. They drag him out and they didn't want to touch him, so they throw buckets of water on him from afar and they just pile boulders and rocks all over his dead body. That was his funeral. What a disgrace. What a disgrace, subhanAllah. As we said, after loss, utter loss in this world and the hereafter. What a way to die. What a humiliating death, subhanAllah. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبَ. All that he earned, reputation, good looks, whatever he got, didn't avail him in the least. So that's two examples of the haters. Abu Lahab and his son Utaybah. And subhanAllah, his name Utaybah is different from Utbah. They both share letters, right? Utbah, Utaybah, but one has the Ya of Tazreed, Utaybah. And this Ya of Tazreed, when you insert it into a word, it makes the word smaller. Right? It's Umar, and a small Umar is called Umayr. Kitab, and a small Kitab is called Kutayyib, you see? So Utbah, and then Utaybah, Utaybah is the smaller version. Because that's what it was. It was a small imbecile. See, so he deserved the Al-Tazrid in his name. Another example was when, and this is something that is mentioned by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in his book Ad-Durar al-Kamina, that there was once in the time of the Mongolian king a festival for a king who had recently accepted Christianity. So these Christians got together and they celebrated, and they also got a preacher, a missionary, to come and give a speech at that ceremony for, or congratulations of, the Christian king accepting this faith. So this Christian missionary, this preacher, stands up and begins insulting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He begins talking about him and degrading his honor and integrity.
it's mentioned that among the gathering was a man who had his hunting dog with him. It's mentioned as soon as he began with his insults toward Rasulullah, this dog started to go nuts, started to growl and snarl, trying to jump at this man. So they managed to settle it down, and it took a lot of effort to do so. And they said, wait a minute, we think that this dog went wild and crazy because of your insults towards Muhammad. He goes, no. هذا الكلب عزيز النفس. This dog has pride and aziz, thinks he's all that, and you know, he basically thought I was going to smack it or hit it because when I talk I move my hands a lot. No, don't worry, dumb old dog, some stupid dog, don't worry about it. So he continued with his insults towards Rasulullah, but this time he overdid it. His speech actually became, and it was filled with more vulgar words, more insults, more mockery and ridicule. That made the dog go even more wild and crazy and managed to break free from its chain. It jumped at him, it bit his throat, ripped it out with one bite, and the man died instantly. Allahu Akbar. All because of the insult that this man was saying towards the noble Prophet and Messenger of Allah. Inna shani'aka huwa al-Abtar. Another example of the kawfar Allah granted his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was mentioned, as he said, by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in his book Adrar Al-Kamila. And it's also online. If you were to type it, I'm sure you get that story. And it's mentioned after that, فَأَسْلَمَ 40,000 مِنَ الْمُغَانِ. After that, approximately 40,000 Maghul accepted Islam. 40,000 Mongols accepted Islam due to that miracle. This dog gave da'wah. SubhanAllah. Call it da'wah dog. Double D. That's what a da'wah dog, SubhanAllah. He gave da'wah because he had love and honor for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the scholar said, if a dog showed honor and had honor and stood up for the honor of Rasulullah, then what about you and I? We're not going to stand up when the Prophet of Allah is being tarnished, or his enemies is trying to be tarnished by the haters. Allah musta'an. And at the end of the day, let the haters hate. The honor of Rasulullah came from the heavens. No one on earth can ever take it away. The scholars would say, the greatness of the heavens is not affected by the barking of the dogs. Right? A dog will bark at the heavens day and night. Is it going to bring it down? Kalla wallah, not in the slightest. So that's how we should, of course, don't let it bring us down, but that doesn't mean we don't stand up for truth and justice and stand up against oppression. No, we have to stand up. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a prophet of positivity. He didn't let the haters bring him down. The wife of Abu Lahab, Jameel, she made poetry against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She made poetry against him, hatred of him. She said, Muhammad, وَذَمَّ مَنْ عَصَيْنَا وَأَمْرَهُ أَبَيْنَا. She said, مُذَمَّم. She didn't call him Muhammad. She said, مُذَمَّم, from them. Them is to dispraise. And his name is Muhammad, from praise. So she changed his name. She said, مُذَمَّ مَنْ عَصَيْنَا. We disobeyed Muhammad, wa amrahu abayna, and his affair we have refused and rejected, meaning Islam. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he said, she's cursing Muhammad. I'm not Muhammad, I'm Muhammad. These insults are going to someone else. Don't worry about it. Allahu Akbar. Prophet of positivity, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let it slide. Allahu Akbar. Let the haters hate. You know, all the water in the ocean can never sink a ship unless the water enters that ship. Likewise, all the negativity, all the insults in the world can never bring you down, it can never sink you, unless you allow it to enter you. Unless you allow it to enter your heart, block it out. Don't let it come in. Block out the negativity. And don't worry, what people say is a reflection of them, not you. So keep doing what you do. And for people to resolve or to resort to insults, for people to resort to insults, foul and vulgar language, wallah, is only a sign of their diseased heart. Because the tongue reveals what the heart conceals. What people say is a reflection of their diseased heart. So let's end with the links of the entire surah from beginning to end. Ayah 1 to 3. Surah Al-Kawthar starts with praise and ends with dispraise. It starts with
with praising Rasulullah, with giving you a kawthar, and among that is the praise of Rasulullah, and he's mentioning, and it ends with dispraise, condemnation of those who are the haters. The second link between, or linking of the entire surah, is the first ayah. Surah Al-Kawthar starts off with the best of creation, Rasulullah, and it ends with the worst of creation, those who oppose Rasulullah. It starts with the best, ends with the worst. Number 3. Surah Al-Kawthar starts off with the reward of abundant good, Al-Kawthar, and ends with the loss of all good, Abtar. The Kawthar, this is number 4, the Kawthar includes goodness in both worlds. The Kawthar includes goodness in both worlds, and Abtar includes loss in both worlds, and the evil in both worlds, subhanAllah. And number 5, last but not least, the Kuffar accused Rasulullah of what he doesn't have, Butira Muhammad. So Allah began the surah with what Rasulullah does have in the Abtar and Al-Kawthar. SubhanAllah. Allah saying he doesn't have this. Allah says, no, he has all of this, Al-Kawthar. Allahu Akbar. This is once again showing us the amazing articulation and creative marvel of the Qur'an. Eloquence of the highest order and degree. I ask Allah Ta'ala, the Most High, to grant you and I deep understanding of His word, and most importantly, implementation of that. Barakallahu feekum ala husni istima'ikum wa jazakum Allahu khayra. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. May Allah reward you for your patience. It's hard to, you know, sit there for hours and try and gain knowledge. But anything valuable in life is hard to get. You want pearls? Where are they found? Beneath the ocean. You want gold? Where is it found? Hard to get to, under the earth. You want that paycheck? Hard to get to, a lot of work needed. You want knowledge? Also, don't think knowledge is going to come easy. It takes effort. May Allah reward you for your sacrifice, your patience. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.